I am Justin Ohm, and this is my co-host,
Sean Choi, the professional gigolo.
We are here today with the studio faculty, or faculty. I'm not really sure what you guys like to be called.
I'll just call it Elvin Studio.
Yeah, we're not sure.
That's right. Whoa, that hurts.
Yeah, he's the boss, I guess.
Welcome to the show. You guys are guests number one. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The guinea pigs.
Yeah. It is testing the guinea pigs.
We'll cut you guys out later.
I don't know if I should thank you for coming on to the show right now or apologize.
A little bit of this.
We're super stoked to have you guys on.
Awesome.
So, I guess, what are you guys' names? Introduce yourselves.
Mm-hmm. My name is Alvin, and
my name's Vince.
I'm a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And let the world know where you guys are from.
Vancouver. We're from Vancouver. Oh, I'm from North Vancouver.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a distinction. We have the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvin is from
Vancouver too.
How many years have you guys been in jail?
I'm not sure if I can say that in public.
This is where I learned things about Alvin that I didn't know before.
Yes.
And did you guys meet in jail or did you meet somewhere else?
I guess if you call school kind of a jail, it's been kind of 4 years or so. Yeah.
Whoa. We have to cut this part out.
Probably cut that part out.
That's fine. Thanks to Emily Carr.
Cool. And what do you guys do now?
We're just graphic designers. I guess we're our own bosses, but our own slaves as well. you kind of become the you manage yourself, I guess, and you clock in the hours and stuff that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a boss because we don't have employees. Yeah. So boss of no one is basically not a boss. It's basically just freelancers, but then we have a company. That's all it is.
Cool.
Yeah, sexy stuff.
What kind of work do you guys do at Studio Faculty?
We usually just focus on branding and I guess print design and web design. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Wah.
Sorry. I heard my feedback and it was kind of weird. I thought I got cut off or something.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we're just trying to listen to you.
Yeah. Okay.
I just have my chin on my fist right now.
Just listening,
taking it in.
Yeah. We're just two polite guys.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's always hard to describe. I find I'm pretty bad at describing what I do, but I tried so many times. But basically, just focused on branding and web design and print design and I guess branding is the big thing because we really enjoy just working with people and their kind of dreams and they're usually startups and kind of discovering what they want to get out of their company or their restaurant or clothing brand, whatever it is. It's cool. You get to kind of get inside their head a little bit and try to imagine what they want to, what they're picturing, and when those things line up, it's pretty exciting, I think. And they feel like you really get them and you build that kind of bond. Yeah. I don't know if Alvin you want to add anything to Alvin? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, back to the beginning.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard to...
the jail where we met?
Yeah, the part where we crap. I was just going to say, it's always hard to describe what graphic designer does. I guess when we talk about graphic design to people that are in the same industry, it's easy, but I'm imagining telling my parents or my grandparents what graphic design is, that's often something that's pretty interesting and hard to explain.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, if I'm like in a restaurant, I'll be like holding up a menu and say like, so I do stuff like this. I design menu for this restaurant, for example. And then she will probably be like no one even does that. Like, you don't even need to
do that. That's it. Like,
right, yeah. Right.
That's pretty much it.
That's a really nice thing for your like mom or grandmother to say, you know, they're like, you don't need to do that.
Like, you're not important in the world.
Nobody needs to read nice menus.
Exactly. Just have to be cheap.
It's fine. You can just like pay $5 and get someone else to do it.
You guys started your own company. Were you like scarred by previous experience? You don't have to go on the record.
Is this a safe place?
Yeah.
No, there's no...
I'm kind of joking about scarring anyway. So.
No, it's all pretty good, I think, for us. But I think we tend to tell people that we, both Alvin and I, really like a certain type of design and I guess approach to design. And it just kind of fused, like at the time that we just noticed Vancouver wasn't really... go in that direction, like there wasn't much of it, at least to us. And so especially also, I think just it's always in kind of a bit of my dream to start something on my own. So I guess the opportunity kind of came up and I don't know. I'll leave some sort of album to talk about, I guess.
Yeah. I guess overall I guess every designer or everyone just wants to do their best in every single project, right? And we find that, not that if you work for someone, that's not possible. It's just, we have more control if we, if we like handle the whole project ourselves, right? So, well, definitely like what Vince mentioned is the main reason, but this is kind of like a side reason, I guess, for me. It's just to do good work, and in order to do good work, sometimes you have to take the risk and just start something yourself and see if you can come by projects that you like.
I always kind of wondered maybe if we started too early or if I'm like, you know, just if I should have had a bit more experience under me. But also it's kind of interesting talking to people and they're just saying like, you know, why not start young and try it since you have that freedom. And and then, you know, you don't have kids or anything, so you can kind of try it more, yeah.
But I thought you had like 5 children, like all over the world.
I just didn't want to tell you about
that. Oh, man. That comes later,
that's
right?
Another podcast.
Yeah. We'll get into your personal lives later. Cool. You guys have done some work with like... some local fashion brands, like retail. Like you worked with like Oak and Fort and Board of Trade, Priority of 10, Daughters of the Empire. I don't even actually know if Daughters of the Empire are Vancouver or somewhere else, or even Priority of 10. Yeah. Like,
tell people that we, both Alvin and I, really like a certain type of design and I guess approach to design. And it just kind of fused, like at the time that we just noticed Vancouver wasn't really going that direction. Like there wasn't much of it, at least to us. And so, especially also, I think just it's always in kind of a bit of my dream to start something on my own. So I guess the opportunity kind of came up and, I don't know. I'll leave some sort of album to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, I guess overall, every designer or everyone just wants to do their best in every single project, right? And we find that, not that if you work for someone, that's not possible. It's just, we have more control if we, if we like handle the whole project ourselves, right? So, well, definitely like what Vince mentioned is the main reason, but this is kind of like a side reason, I guess, for me. It's just to do good work, and in order to do good work, sometimes you have to take the risk and just start something yourself and see if you can come by projects that you like.
I always kind of wondered maybe if we started too early or if I'm like, you know, just if I should have had a bit more experience under me. But also it's kind of interesting talking to people and they're just saying like, you know, why not start young and try it since you have that freedom and mm-hmm. and then, you know, you don't have kids or anything, so you can kind of try it more. Yeah.
I thought you had like 5 children, like all over the world.
I just didn't want to tell you about
that. Oh man. That comes later.
That's another podcast.
Yeah. We'll get into your personal life later. Cool. You guys have done some work with like some local fashion brands, mm-hmm. hey? Like retail. Like you worked with like Oak and mm-hmm. Fort. And Board of Trade, Priority of 10, Daughters of the Empire. I don't even actually know if Daughters of the Empire are Vancouver or somewhere else, or even Priority of 10. Yeah. Like, I'm not even sure if they're a Vancouver thing or not as well. But are you guys like drawn to the fashion brands and like fashion retail and design and all of that? Or are those companies like coming to you guys and seeking you out for work?
I think for us, like I kind of stumbled into the fashion industry, I think a little bit. It was like, I guess when I was freelancing during school, I kind of, just through friends and like a friend's friend that I met Eunice Kwan, who at the time was working to start Oak and Fort. And it just so happened, I was just fortunate to get the opportunity to work with her on Oak and Fort. And now Oak and Fort's, you know, totally something else, something much bigger. But, and then it was kind of her that kind of brought me along to next projects with Board Trade that she started. And then, she also started something with, a fashion designer in New York, and that was for Priority 10. So it's just really been just fortunate instances where she just kept kind of, you know, bringing me along and using our design. So, and then I think, you know, once we started the studio, that all that work kind of helped to just kind of give us a presence. And then Daughters in the Empire, it was nice transition. I think we actually really liked that project too, I think, but I'll let Alvin talk more about it, I guess, because he was kind of the brains behind it, I feel like.
No. Well, it's both brains. Yeah. I guess.
Nice one, Alvin.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I have to give you some credit for it.
Half my brain.
Interestingly, I guess we met the owners of Daughters of the Empire through Board of Trade as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we feel like most clients, if you work in one industry, that industry usually leads you to more clients of the same industry. Mm-hmm. So for DOE, Daughters of Empire, it's a company or fashion brand that they started have one last summer, so that's 2013, and mm-hmm. they want to start off as an online company, and then turns into a brick and mortar in Gastown sometime after that.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, like, if Star Wars was ever on the table in the branding exercise.
For DOE?
Yeah.
Possibly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like some Princess Leia, you know.
We do have a Stormtrooper, like, action figure. Right now it's in our fridge.
Yeah.
We froze it.
I liked it because it was white, and then...
Oh man, that's a totally a racist comment.
Yeah. Have to cut that out too. But yeah. We have some random things in the studio that we don't know why it's there.
Is naming the companies like part of the process for you guys, or do these guys just come to you and they already have like their name and a concept? And
I think most of them come to us with a name in mind already. Only I think recently there are some projects where they have an idea, but then they kind of give you a space to try and come up with something else, which we were always like wanting to have. But when it actually comes, it's kind of like a big responsibility in a way, because you want it to be something brilliant or not, you know, something kind of lame. But
and you want them to be like successful right? So
yeah, for sure. So it's always, it's fun in both ways, I guess. Like I think for Daughters and Empire, we kind of honestly struggled a little bit with the name because we felt it was quite long and hard to brand in a way. But at the same time, it was kind of the client's brilliance and, you know, how the short form stands for like a deer, like a doe, and all of that kind of came together just kind of out of the blue. So, it's something we're learning right now. I think trying to name startups and suggest why we should use this name.
From my experience, it's like most people have like
ridiculously long name.
And like that's probably the thing that they first did right when they started to conceptualize their business. So it was like starting with a name and getting excited about a name and like general concept, they're like already there. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we go through your website, you guys do like few typography projects, like developing fonts. Are you guys like planning to work on new fonts or?
Yeah, we were. I'll let Alvin talk about it more too, because I feel like I'm speaking a lot. But we were just working on some stuff today too. I guess it's always been an interest for me and for Alvin too. It's a lot of work, and we're not in any way pros at it, but we just had an interest, I guess. And it's kind of a fascinating, I guess, a skill that you can kind of apply even in branding. Like if you're just trying to come out with a typeface and you can't seem to find something that seems to work or fit, and you can try to make your own in a way to fit those characteristics.
Talking about typeface, I guess one funny thing we found out today, like I saw a really good typeface online, right?
Like and, Comic Sans?
Yeah. Almost. You know, there's a new, I think there's a Comic Sans Pro. Have you seen?
What?
They have like 10 different ways. It's pretty cool.
It might be a wet version.
I'm buying that. I'm buying that tonight.
You should totally buy it. Anyways. Yeah. So there's this font I found online, like from this other person's project. And then I Googled it and it's obviously like whatever, like $30 or $40 per weight.
Right.
So just out of curiosity, I want to see how easy it for me is to get that font for free. So I just did a simple Google search of the font name and says, and I didn't even do any weird search term. I just said font download free, right? And then the first link is already the entire set of that font for free.
Man, I'm gonna shit myself here, man.
But obviously, as a design studio right now, basically like it's, and of course as a type designer, it's something that we don't really feel like it's a good thing going out. It's almost like songs, right? Like it's not, it's not really good to see everyone just downloading and using your font or song for free.
Right. It's like taking away your soul, right?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Oh man, it's like so sad.
It's just how easy it is, right? Like just a simple Google search.
I know. Technology.
Yeah.
There's a lot of free things on the internet.
So like, are people like using a lot of your fonts?
Unfortunately.
I
go ahead.
Unfortunately, what? What were you going to say?
Well, unfortunately, some, yeah. I think it's... I hate to say
Yeah, that's actually surprisingly quite... I don't know. I don't know how... Like, I don't know the numbers for other fonts. Mm-hmm. But then for us, it's pretty fortunate. It's been quite a lot of downloads. I haven't checked recently, but...
Right.
I remember the last time I checked, there's like a one like in the 5,000 to 10,000 downloads.
Wow. Oh, really?
Wow. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And even, and good thing is that fonts, like right now when we look at the fonts we made like 2-3 years ago, it seems kind of dated. Well, just to us, it feels dated, but...
Yeah, it's so dated. Yeah.
Expired.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it looks expired. But yeah, funny thing is there's still continuous people, like people continues to download it and like surprisingly like people donating to, like, I don't know if you, if you've seen our other site called Practice Foundry. It's basically a site where we have like a handful of fonts designed by Canadian type designers.
Right.
That's free to download, but then you can donate whatever amount you want. And yeah, like, I'd say every few weeks, there's at least like one or two donations.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? Man, that's sweet.
Is it from your family or?
From
this is a little pity donation here.
No, it's like, I really like you guys' font because I always see them on like a featured graphic design website.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it's like, proud of you guys, man.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. You know, see some people you know and like, you know, your work shows up on, you know, designspiration.net. Yeah. Or,
I probably uploaded those photos.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, we uploaded ourselves, probably.
It gets spread around.
Oh, man.
Okay. No, and I remember, like, when you guys showed up on, like, Site Inspire, you know, like, I know that that's, like, a curated site. And so it's nice to see stuff you guys are working on end up in places where I know like the world sort of goes to like get inspired. So should feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. It's a nice reward in some ways. Some days when you need a little pickup.
I kind of have one more question regarding your font. Like, how do you guys like name your like typefaces?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is there a naming protocol or?
Alvin, how did you...
Well, I guess mine is a bit more specific to the like the idea of my font because it was a grad project, right? And then it was like, in, put it in short, it's just like, it's a font where it's, I try to make it the most legible and readable on small mobile display.
Right.
And obviously in mobile display, it's all made out of pixels, right? So pixels, when I imagine pixels, I kind of tied into fabric and how like when you look at a piece of fabric, although it looks like one piece, but then it's actually made out of a lot of different string of threads, right? So just tying that same idea, so I named it called Fabrica. I guess Vince has a small system to his naming though.
Not really, but I no, I was
truth be told.
A little bit.
Well, my grad project
concept.
My grad project was originally called I think it's called Assembly or something. It was the idea of like putting Chinese letter forms with like you know, Latin letter forms, and I found out someone else's grad project was called Assembly as well. So that's why
of the same year, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. So out of my, I guess, like conscience, I renamed it, and I don't know how I ended up with Collator. I guess Collator. I was just trying to find a name that sounded kind of cool and meant something that was related.
Yeah, it sounds very sexy.
Yeah,
I can't even pronounce
Sean
it.
Sean is a cool name.
Yeah.
I mean, collating and assembling are kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I was
kind of
like, thesaurus.com is the best thing in the world. And and then when I sort of worked on that other typeface, it just seemed kind of fun to just name it like Narrator because it felt right in terms of the look, and it kind of rhymed a bit with the other one. And so I don't know. I don't think the next one would be called something like that, but yeah.
Next one should be like curator.
Yeah.
Do like a gallery font.
Yeah. Yes. Like Comic Sans-ish. Yeah.
No, definitely if there's more time. It's just, yeah, it's so much, so time consuming to
make. Oh, yeah, for sure. It takes a long time to like develop one font, right?
Yeah, for sure.
As we've been talking about fonts, I actually just Googled Comic Sans Pro.
Yeah.
And then I noticed there is like a project up on the Tumblr that's called Comic Sans Project, and it's like
Jesus
graphic design history remixed with Comic Sans. It's actually pretty good.
Oh my gosh.
So I'll throw it in the show notes for this episode. Yeah, check it out. All of our listeners can check it out later.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's sweet. So do you guys want to keep going with font design, right? Like as you have time to do it, or
I know at least I want to. Alvin, you pretty stoked?
Well, we've been, maybe he doesn't. Maybe
not, yeah. See how much we don't know each other.
you guys are just like sick and tired of each other.
Yeah. Like, well, we've been actually the studio. We've actually made our own font for the studio. We haven't put it on our website, but then, like if you check out our Commute app, the app that we made, the self-initiative app, the entire set of typeface, well, right now there's only bold and regular. Those are made by us.
So you got your own font in your app.
Yeah. One main reason why what encouraged us to make our own font is because, like, you know how mobile apps, there's not many font options, right? Not as much as like web or print. So,
yeah.
And then there are some that's really good, but then obviously you have to pay a lot more for the app license. So talking about like $1,000 to $2,000 just for the font. So yeah, that kind of encouraged us to make our own font.
I can't remember how much the licensing for Proxima Nova was, because it's all over a lot of the Steamclock fonts, or not fonts, the Steamclock apps, but I think, is it Mark Simpson?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I don't know, I could be wrong, and I know my boss, Alan, is going to listen to this episode, so.
Hi, Alan.
I feel like it was like somewhere in the ballpark of like 5K per app or something for Proxima Nova, and we use like a few weights. I find whenever we're doing consulting, I'm like the iOS system fonts are pretty good. You kind of only have a couple for each style, you know, like, or like, kind of, you know, sans serif and serif and.
Or Dingbat. Yeah.
Comic Sans. Is there Comic Sans for app? We thought sure about Comic Sans.
It's a legit font, guys.
Legit
Dingbat.
Font.
Yeah, you guys made Commute app. We didn't have it in our show notes because we were going to talk about other stuff, but now I feel like we have to because it's just the perfect segue
from the font
design into the app. So, like, what inspired you guys to design Commute?
I guess we just kind of felt.
Were you guys drunk?
Waiting for a bus.
Waiting for the bus.
I think it's just like opportunities to create projects that we want to do. Because we always want to try getting into app design and that sort of realm of work. And also find a way to, I guess, contribute a little bit back to the community in a way. Or we hope that it does, sure. I guess. I guess for me, I guess when I travel on transit, I just kind of noticed that there's certain things you can do better, or I think better, and it's just a nice, I guess, opportunity as a designer to be able to stretch that, you know, ability, I guess, and reach out to people that can help and make something happen. So it was pretty exciting, I think. And Alvin basically, I think, took that and really ran with it too. Like, yeah, I'll let Alvin talk about it too.
No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
No, period.
Just don't just say the truth. Okay. We were kind of drunk. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know. We actually like met the like an app developer through Behance. We found him on Behance.
Mm-hmm. Behance.net. Okay.
And then at that time we had no idea what we should make, but we simply want to try and make a simple app. At first we wanted to be so simple it could just be like a flashlight app and we would be satisfied already. We don't have any apps so anything would be good to have, right?
So are you guys like still updating them?
Yeah, actually we were just working on it like a couple of days ago.
Okay. Well,
not a couple of days, last week. Mm-hmm. There's some new features that we found could be better and useful.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Yeah, it's a continuous project. At the same time, we are trying to brainstorm some other app. Yeah, but most of the apps we're trying to make is all like utility apps.
Mm-hmm.
How far did you take it, like in the design to like, you know, functional prototype, and then finally just being like, I want to walk away and I'm going to give this to a developer and then come back and like critique his work.
Quietly walk away.
I'm just going to give you these files and act like this doesn't exist for a couple of days.
Yeah, it was a pretty long process, I think. But yeah, we did quite a bit of brainstorming and like mapping things out. And then just drawing a lot of different frames and trying to work out like how that whole, you know, user process goes and user scenarios.
Right.
And we also had some fun with it. Like we tried making our own sound effects with like, I don't know how we came up with like a ping pong ball and we just started recording that sound too and stuff.
So, yeah.
Without going into too much detail, we did quite a lot and then we really just handed off the development to our friend Ben and just check up on it every once in a while, I guess.
Yeah, I guess like after its completion, he committed suicide, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like we used to talk a lot like on Facebook and like come out and grab dinner and stuff, but after that like
slowly recently, faded like, away.
Yeah, he just ignores us sometimes. Yeah,
oh, this is brilliant.
Do you guys have any ideas for apps that you're thinking about working on that you'd want to talk about on the show? Or is everything like in the vault until, you know, ready to ship it?
Yeah, we're pretty transparent. We can talk about a couple of them. A year ago, I thought of this app, like a really simple app where you track like how much snow is in the mountains, like in like Whistler or like Cyprus. So like basically like swipes away and then you can see exactly the slow level.
Nice.
Yeah. And then recently we've been thinking about this app to convert units. So I guess most people right now have like the free app where it's like the design is like a carousel where you spin and then find the measurement that you want and then convert it, right? So we find that it's a bit too time consuming from step one to the end result. Yeah, for most app idea, we try to find like what's the problem and see if there's a way design can sort of solve that. So like, for example, that convert the problem, the steps in converting an app, like it will take literally like maybe a minute to find your answer. But then if we can reduce it to like 5 to 10 seconds, then that could work.
Actually, like Justin and I were talking about like last Saturday when we talked about when we were talking about this podcast.
Yeah.
We were actually thinking of developing an app. Just wondering if you guys can participate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Karma Straw app that we're just trying to pull off. Or finding the cougar in Vancouver. Yeah. No, we're just like fucking around.
those are good ideas, yeah. Man.
It might
people are probably gonna take it from, yeah, people are gonna listen to this and take your idea.
Yeah. And one with it. I don't care. Oh man. Yeah. Just something like, how people or clients like usually contact you? Like through social media or just emails or like just drop in?
Through online dating.
That's already out of an answer, but I love it.
OnlineDating.com. So at first, we try to know our clients and then, yeah, get their phone number, and that's how it all starts.
Well, I think like one of the interesting ones so far has been like Instagram too. Like, I don't know if we got any clients from Instagram, but definitely like met new friends and people in the industry, and just meeting, like you meet people that you never really, I never thought were around. Like you didn't know, yeah, they do mm-hmm. like great work or they have great photos, and then you realize they're actually from the same city. Yeah, I think that's been pretty amazing too. But a lot of word of mouth, I guess, so far.
Cool. And who's your biggest fan other than your mother
or father?
Oh, I thought it's you two. You two are our biggest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we are the only ones.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I guess I could be your biggest fan. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Sexy stuff.
That's like very existential question.
Yes.
Who's our biggest fan?
Who's
just
you're hurt,
Justin?
Yeah, well, I guess so.
That question totally backfired.
My gosh,
we have no idea.
I don't know.
When are you guys gonna buy us dinner?
I thought you're gonna. Isn't it you that's gonna buy us dinner? Since you're our biggest fan.
Come with pizza.
Oh yeah.
Man, slices. We gotta get some slices.
Oh yeah, I'll get two slices.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Because I'm on diet.
Hey, can we ask you two questions?
Yeah,
for sure.
How do you two know each other, and why do you start this?
Man, I'm just gonna say I'll blame Stephen Harper for this.
Couldn't handle the conservative
government. Totally.
Yeah, how do we know each other?
I guess like my girlfriend, your wife, knows each other first, and
that's
then
true, yeah.
You got hooked up.
Yeah. Like a double date thing?
Oh, yeah, sort of.
I guess so, yeah. It was like some very friendly dinners,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, it's very intimate and time.
And then I think it was one of those things where I always have like 50 projects I want to start, and I just... I've been listening to way too many podcasts lately, and I was like, I want to do podcasts.
Cool.
And that was that.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Keeping it local, you know. Yes, you gotta start local.
Small. I thought you said keeping it low. Low cost.
Trying to do that too.
Oh man.
What's the name of your podcast?
That's a making out conversation.
Making out?
Yeah, making out. Making out conversation.
Oh, nice.
No. No, that is not the name of our podcast.
That's actually a good name.
That's actually what I proposed, but declined.
Yeah. We bounced a few names around. There was like 1-800, 20 questions.
Yeah, and sick 20s.
620s.
You haven't asked us 20 questions yet, though.
Six, I don't know
six how many
we probably asked like 56 questions already.
Yeah.
So, and then like I always like the idea of making conversation, because it's like a play on words, I guess. Like everybody we have on this show is going to be an artist or a designer or a musician or some kind of creative person. So, and it's just about getting together and talking, because most of us are just too busy in our own, you know, routines and stuff. So,
amen.
It's kind of like a way to get together and talk about what we make and like,
nice.
That's it.
I love our first episode.
Yeah, I think this is going great. So, how can people reach you? What's your Twitter handles?
Oh, Studio One's just Studio Faculty, all lowercase. And our personal ones, I think I was pretty early on Twitter, so I got Vince Lowe. Yeah. I'm really proud of that.
Cheater. Traitor.
Alvin is... What is yours, Alvin?
Mine is like _ Alvin.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty creative.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not bad. And you guys, your website is studiofaculty.com, I guess.
Or you can just Google.
All lowercase.
You can Google Vancouver Design Studio. And then we are probably the first one. No.
Vancouver?
Just kidding.
I'm going to do it right now.
No, I'm not sure if I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes we are on the first.
Let's be humble. No, I don't think also, we're there.
Actually, you got, Alvin's true. Like, I typed Sex Vancouver and you guys are the number one.
Hey, that's the secret SEO. That's how we get all the hits, man.
I feel like you haven't been honest about who your clients are today.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Well, you haven't been honest, too. I bet this podcast is for like, it's not for creative people.
It's going to be huge, man. You're the part of the history.
We're hoping to capture the mommy blogger audience with this podcast. I think that's it. As you do not know, I was going to say, as you know, you can reach us at Making Conversation on Twitter at making_convo, all lowercase. And feel free to email us with any feedback at hello@makingconversation.ca or feedback@makingconversation.ca. And we'd love to hear all of your bad ideas at bad@makingconversation.ca. So you've been, any creative ideas have been stimulated in your mind as you've been listening to this conversation, feel free to just drop us an email. We would love to get those ideas and post them on our website.
Let your creative juice flow.
Our only requirement is they have to be bad ideas. So.
Oh, yeah. Really bad.
Yeah. I think that's a show.
A little bit too much.
Cool.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.